Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Now, one of the most famous stories in history involves a group of people standing at the edge of a river waiting for a miracle. But the miracle didn't happen while they stood on the bank. It happened once their feet actually touched the water. Today, we're talking about the action side of trust, right? That you need the courage to move. There is a specific kind of patience that requires us to move into the unknown before we have the full map. I think it is that understanding of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. We love it, right? They that wait on the Lord. And then they always say that if you're going to wait on the Lord, then do what waiters do and serve. Patient or passive? That's the theme we're running with as we discuss our Make It Practical segment this week. So do join us as we converse together, and guiding us in this conversation, we welcome her to the conversation, is Sister Andile Mutsonga. Good morning to you, sis, and welcome.
Good morning, Brother Derek. Thank you so much.
Only a pleasure. Trusting that we find you well.
Yes, yes. I'm well on this chilly day,
yeah.
But God is good all the time.
Amen. Amen. Even in the chilliness, right? The God of the sunny days is still God of the chilly days as well. Thank you so much.
Yes,
thank
yes.
You.
God of all time.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, indeed. Thank you once again for joining us as we converse about this particular subject here, patient versus passive. And today we want to say, even patience moves, even patience moves. Why does God often require a step, right, into the Jordan before the waters can part?
Oh, yeah, that's quite a big one. So maybe just to recap quite a bit. So mm-hmm. we've really learned at a practical level some great models that and counsel that the Bible has given us in the waiting room, right?
Yes.
And to just unpack this topic of patience versus passivity. So we've learned that prayer is important, and we've got the model of prayer to answer some basic everyday questions. Why, who, when, how, with who, and all of those where.
Yeah.
And then we've also just learned that we need to, it's important to familiarize ourselves with the waiting room, know the furniture, know where the bread is, know where the fridge is, know where the light is, know where my joy is in this waiting room. So we've got to familiarize ourselves and learn and learn and learn a lot. So now it looks like we're starting to make some moves right now, right?
Okay.
Within the waiting room. So as to, maybe let's go to that specific account that you've just quoted from, the account of the group of people who now want to cross over to the other side, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when we actually go to the a specific account in the Bible where we then get this principle from to step into the waters first, we actually don't get told why that must be the case, right?
Mm.
We are not told why you must do it in that order first. But what we are told is that there's a way that the Passion Translation frames it. It says, the moment the feet of the priest carrying the ark of Yahweh, the Lord of all the earth, touch the waters of the Jordan, a great miracle will happen. The water flowing downstream toward you will stop and pile up as if behind a dam. So a great miracle will happen, right?
Yeah.
And it seems God is quite intentional that I will not explain this thing. You will just have to watch and see that indeed it is according to what I have said. And I really get to appreciate that there are things that God has just chosen not to explain before, you know, not give us the theory of it, but he says, come and see. Is that not how he called the disciples? Come and see. Just come and see. Because they had asked him, where do you dwell? You know, expecting a theoretical answer. And he simply says, come and see. When they came to see, they knew that he is the Messiah. So I really want us to appreciate this instruction as to say, when we stand before the flowing waters and we receive an instruction from God to say, step into the waters. We know what he did. We know what he said. He said, step into it. We don't have to deliberate as to Why must it be the order? Why must he just come and say, do it? A great miracle will happen. And there is another account in scripture where I realized that okay. It could be that God wants to remove the fear. There's an account in Isaiah 43 verse 2, which says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee, right? Mm. And so, and that account further down the line says, fear not. So it's to remove the fear that may be associated with that experience. So the waters will not overflow you. Step into the waters.
Step into the waters. They will not overflow you, but they won't stop flowing until you step into the waters. How do we then deal with anxiety that comes from the fact that this idea of stepping into the waters, right? Because the thing is, like you're saying rightfully, the anticipation is the waters will overflow. If you go into a raging river, that's what it will do. But the difference is, yeah, like you're saying, God is with us. The question that comes is, we don't know the outcome, right? When we are stepping into the water, there is that great possibility that the waters will overflow. How do we then overcome the anxiety that we don't know what the outcome is? Because as human beings, I guess we need that assurance. We're creatures of control. We need to know how it's going to turn out. And without a guaranteed outcome, how do we deal with anxiety?
You know, the psychology of this, Brother Derek, I realized that God wants to bring our vision not on the other side of the waters. He wants to bring it to here in front.
Okay.
Now.
Okay, be present.
So don't worry about. So, yes, the mission is to cross over to the other side. But think about what's in front of you now. Don't think about when you have crossed over, when that has happened. The only guaranteed outcome hangs on you stepping into the Jordan, right? So think about that. And then that's where then he gives us the assurance that the waters will not overflow you. Because, of course, once you get rid of that, then going across to the other side is not an issue, because the hurdle is that the waters are overflowing and there's just that anxiety that comes, that might come with it. But specific to anxiety, there's really just only one way that God consistently throughout scripture instructs us to respond to anxiety. He just says, cast it. Cast it. Don't explain it. Don't neatly. Just cast the anxiety. If you experience that anxiety, cast it unto him. Just like he cast the devil out and down from the holy place. Just cast the anxiety. So we've got to learn to do that and just trust that the only guaranteed outcome is the one that stands in front of me right now. Just step into the waters and the waters will step into the Jordan and the waters will not overflow. He says, to stay on the same text, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. That gives us an assurance that he is our God, right? He is holy. He would not, and the fact that he's holy just says that he casts everything that does not represent holiness. So anxiety, cast the anxiety. Don't even deal with it in any other way. The biblical instruction is don't entertain it. Mm. Don't mull over it. Just cast it and focus on just the guaranteed outcome be, I will step my feet onto the waters because the waters will not overflow.
Amen. You know, I want to move with that idea of just casting and just moving and just going forward. That sometimes as we then, I mean, we're talking about patience in action, right? To say it actually moves. How do we know? Because the world is also wanting us to move and God is wanting us to move. How do we know to use God's pace? Because the world is also having a pace and it wants us to move at its pace and it's breakneck speed, right? Everything is always fast, 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 especially if you live in the hubs of cities. It's breakneck pace and if you snooze, you lose. And if you're not careful, you're going to be left behind. How do we then stay tethered to not just movement, but the movement that God is wanting us to move at, despite what the world is wanting us to do?
I love the song that you played just before this. It was saying, "Ogwalapha emhlabeni kuyabambezela," right? and it says minangsuwa lapha. So we've always got to maintain that balance between I am in this world, but I'm not of this world.
Okay.
So that we know that we know where our instruction must come from.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here, but I'm not of here. Right. So my instruction must not come from, you know, the things of this world, the pace that things seemingly move at. It must come from whatever I heard God says. When Jacob blesses the son in Genesis 49, verse 11, he says, verse 7 says, he will tether his donkey to a vine. He's called to the choicest branch, right? And then, so this is his will. This is the will of the Father for his son. He says he will do it. He will tether, he will hold him, he will arrest him to a very specific vine and keep him there, you know, to the choicest branch. Is that not our prayer every day? Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's so great when we see a revelation of what is God's will. If his will is to tether his son to a donkey, the donkey to the vine, praise the Lord, because then it means I'm in the will of the Lord.
Yeah.
It means the son is in the will of the Lord. So we've always just got to find and locate what is the will of God at this point in time. If the will is to keep me tethered in a certain pace, in a certain place, that is the will of the Lord, regardless of any other instruction that may be external. So we've just got to locate, is it the will of God for me to be here and to move at this pace? And what is the pace, right? Is it an hourly thing? Is it a daily? Is it a weekly? Is it a monthly? Is it an annual? Actually, it reminds me of Revelation where it says there are angels that are prepared for an hour, very specific hour, very specific day and month and year. Right. So the God's pace is also defined very specifically for his the installment of his will. So we've got to always just align what is the will of God for my life at this time not be instructed by external.
You know, that is something that's quite profound, because sometimes we are tempted. And I like how you began the response to say the song Reality 7, right? Ogwalapha kuyabambezela. And yet we are saying here that the world is moving at a fast pace. But actually their realization is the things of this world are actually dragging me back and not allowing me to soar. And I think that's the dichotomy, the irony of the story, right? We think we're moving fast when we are in the world, and we're actually being pulled backwards. We're not even going forwards, we're reversing. And we just need those eyes to then see that. We've got a comment coming through from one of our listeners, our viewers on TikTok, says Andy. It's a comment. Let me put it as a comment, and now maybe we phrase it into a question. Anchor Point says here, but we are of this world, right? You were just making a phrase or sentiment there to say, we're not of this world, right? The song also echoing the same sentiments. We are not of this world. We're citizens of another kingdom. But they're saying, but wait a minute. When you look at scripture, we are of this world because heaven is somewhere we're going to go, but we're going to come back to this world. Heaven is just somewhere we go for 1,000 years. Earth, we are here for eternity. So we're going to come back here. What would be your response to that to say, but wait a minute, we're saying we're not citizens of this world, but yet we're going to be spending eternity here? Talk to us a bit about that.
I think that's the point that I was making when I said the mission is to cross over to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But the decisions that I make must concern the moment that's in front of me now. Right? Yes, I want to cross over to the other side, but I've got to put all of my efforts and confidence and faith into actually taking my feet and stepping first before I get to think about the other side. So yes, that the listener is onto something to say eventually there is a coming back, or eventually there is an eventuality, as they have put it. But the decisions that you are faced, the decisions of righteousness that place us in the righteousness of God as it pertains to at this hour, at this day, at this month, at this year is that we've just got to take the right foot, put it in front of the left foot, take the left foot, put it in front of the right foot, and just continue, keep going. And those steps will then lead us to the other side if the Lord is the one who's guiding us. Because the Lord is the one who's guiding us. So the focus, we've got this segment is a make it practical, right?
Yes.
And for me, it might not actually translate to a practicality if I have to make a decision now, having considered a 1,000-year gap between now and another time, right? So I've got to consider, God, what is the right decision for me right now? And we need to guard what informs our decision so that we're not flooded with too much information that it cannot translate to, okay, what do I do right now?
No, you can't.
Go ahead. Pardon?
Saying you may continue? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I was just saying that to say sometimes it ends up becoming choosing the knowledge, you know, of good and evil before I choose the tree of life, to say, okay, I need to know the voice that speaks life to me before I have to choose to first know what are all the things that I must consider. What are all the advantages? What are all the disadvantages? What can come out of that? And, you know, before then, I just say, okay, I trust the voice that I've learned to hear in the waiting room. And that's one of the things that we get to learn in the waiting room. I must learn to hear his voice. That's the journey that we get to learn. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sister. Thank you. And I think also to just add on to the sentiments you're sharing as well is that I think the here and there is not necessarily a location conversation. It is a government conversation. It is a mindset conversation. It is a citizenship conversation. So when we say we are not of this world, like Christ mentions, right, to say, but you are not of this world. I pray for them that they are in the John chapter 17, right, that though they were in this world, they are not of this world. It's because it's a government situation to say their government, their citizenry is not of this world. So it's not necessarily a location issue, but to say the powers that are governing us, the powers that are informing us, that are the authority which we fall under, is not of this world. A worldly sentiment which is of a satanic approach, and then a heavenly sentiment which is of a godly approach, is what the discussion is about. When we then say that we are going to be back on this world, the world will no longer be under the same rulership, right? Right now, as we know, Christ said with the prince of this world is Satan. But when we come back, God is actually making his habitation here, as Revelations would put it across. So I think that becomes the conversation to say it's more an issue of governance, and the here and there is not just about geographic location. I want us to maybe then draw towards the end, Sissy, and talk about looking at this idea from actions, right? To say, how can one tell if their actions are born of trust or of a need of control, right? We were asking the listeners actually earlier on to say, when you consider this idea of passivity, waiting, and waiting on the Lord, or just being complacent, there's a difference, right? To say, are we waiting for things to happen by themselves, or are we actively being part of the process to happen? So when you're waiting for a job, are you just sitting at home waiting for the job to come? Or are you sending out the CV, preparing yourself, making sure that you're ready when the job comes, you're equipped, you're skilled, you're still in line with the current state of needs in that particular industry, and you're not obsolete, your knowledge is no longer invalid. You know, those kind of things. You're waiting, but you are making yourself ready in your waiting. Or are you just saying, you know what, God in his time will do it? I don't know. What is it that we should do, that as we act, we're knowing that we're acting because we're preparing for what God is about to do, or are we acting based on a sense of control in our waiting? Maybe talk to us a bit about that as we close quickly.
Yes. So I think what I want us to remember is that in our waiting, we are actually being prepared and trained just to hear the voice of the Lord speak to us, right? So if at the end of my waiting, what I come out with is a job, and I still don't know God, you know,
it's pointless.
I might not actually be able to sustain that job. Or I might not actually be able to even glorify God throughout the tenure of this job. So the goal every single day is to hear God, right? And to hear him speak to us, telling us which way to go, the right hand or to the left, to hear him every step. You see, it's the greatest achievement, even outside of whatever it is that you might be waiting for. In fact, at the end of the waiting room, we even get to discover that what I've been waiting for has been there all along. It's just that I've not had the ability to actually even discern it, or to the confidence to take it. You know, remember the scripture says confidence comes from hearing. When we know that he hears us, that's where our confidence lies. We've not even been able to locate our confidence. We may have thought that our confidence comes from how we look, how we dress, what did I put on. Those things may be well and good, and they've got their place. But God wants to take us to the source, the origin, the beginning. In the beginning is his word.
Yeah.
So when we actually, he's given us his word for us to begin in. So when we are located in his beginning, we locate everything else. We locate our rest. We know, oh, my rest is here. Oh, my joy is here. Oh, my confidence is here. And you learn to even work the drivers to say, oh, okay, when I want this, this is where I stand and how I stand. And this is where I, you know. So we learn the actual drivers that are not external, that are not depending on someone must first do something before I get to experience what I want to experience.
Yeah.
So at the end of it, the job simply becomes, it's always been there. But God had been preparing me to be able to actually glorify him in the job.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, we'll have to leave it there for today. But thank you so much, Sister Mudzonga. May God bless you. We appreciate you and thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Let it be well with you and the listeners as well.
Thank you so much. Until we meet again tomorrow, stay blessed and thank you. All righty.
Thank you.
That's our conversation, talking matters pertaining to yours and my salvation and how we ought to then conduct ourselves as we enter that salvation space.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.